The news was published on Monday, September 30th, 2024. I am Eva. So picture this. You're sitting in your favorite coffee shop sipping on your latte when suddenly the person next to you leans over and whispers, "Hey, did you hear? We're about to create AI that's smarter than us." You might think they've had one too many espresso shots, but hold on to your beans because that's exactly what Eitan Michael Azoff, this hotshot AI tech analyst, is saying. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ava, come on, we've heard this before. My toaster can barely make decent toast, let alone outsmart me. But hear me out. Azoff's not talking about your run-of-the-mill AI that struggles with CAPTCHAs. He's talking about cracking something called the neural code. It's like finding the cheat codes to the human brain's video game. This neural code isn't about decoding your secret crush or your Netflix preferences. It's all about how our noggins process information, how we think, learn, and solve problems. You know that feeling when you're trying to remember where you put your keys and suddenly it hits you? That's your neural code at work? Azoff believes that once we figure out how to replicate this in AI, we'll be able to create machines that make our brains look like, well, a toaster. But wait, there's more. Azoff's not just talking about making AI smarter, he's talking about giving it a slice of consciousness pie. Now, before you start imagining HAL 9000 or Skynet, let me clarify. We're not talking about the kind of consciousness that has existential crises or writes angsty poetry. It's more like the consciousness of a bee. You know, enough to plan its day, predict where the good flowers are, and remember which human tried to swat it yesterday. You know, all this talk about creating artificial consciousness and visual thinking in AI really takes me back to the early days of computer science. It's like we're embarking on a new frontier, much like the pioneers of AI did back in the 1950s. Speaking of which, have you ever heard of the Turing test? It's a classic, really. Proposed by Alan Turing in 1950, it was one of the first attempts to figure out if a machine could think like us humans. Picture this. You're sitting in a room with a computer terminal chatting away with someone or something on the other end. Your job is to figure out if you're talking to a real person or a computer program. Sounds simple, right? But here's the kicker. If you can't tell the difference, then bam, the machine has passed the test. It's basically the OG of AI challenges. Now, Turing wasn't trying to create a sentient being or anything like that. He was just curious about whether machines could mimic human conversation convincingly. It's like that party game where you try to spot the liar, except in this case, the liar might be a bunch of circuits and code. The Turing test sparked a whole lot of debate and research. Some folks were all excited about the possibilities, while others were skeptical. I mean, just because a machine can fool you in a conversation, does that really mean it's thinking? It's like that old philosophical question, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, is it really a duck? Or in this case, if it chats like a human, is it really thinking? Fast forward to today, and we're still grappling with these questions. Azoff's ideas about consciousness in AI and visual thinking, they're like the great-grandchildren of Turing's original musings. We've come a long way, but in some ways, we're still trying to answer that same basic question. Can machines think like us? Now let's hop in our time machine and zoom forward to the swinging 60s and groovy 70s. While everyone else was busy with bell bottoms and disco, some brainy folks were trying to teach computers to see. Yeah, you heard that right, to see. This field, called computer vision, was one of the early steps towards making machines perceive the world like we do. Imagine you're a researcher back then, sitting in front of a clunky old computer trying to make it understand what it's looking at in a photo. It's not like today where you can just snap a selfie and your phone instantly recognizes your face. No, these early pioneers had to start from scratch. They were basically trying to teach a machine to do something that we humans do without even thinking about it. They started with simple stuff like trying to get computers to recognize basic shapes and edges in images. It's like teaching a toddler to identify circles and squares, except this toddler is made of circuits and has no idea what shapes even are. These researchers had to break down the process of vision into tiny, logical steps that a computer could follow. And let me tell you, it wasn't easy. they faced all sorts of challenges, like how do you teach a computer to deal with different lighting conditions, or to recognize an object when it's partially hidden. These are things our brains do automatically, but for a computer, it's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube blindfolded. But you know what? These early efforts in computer vision laid the groundwork for a lot of the AI tech we use today. That face recognition on your phone? The self-driving cars we're seeing on the roads? They all owe a debt to those pioneering researchers who first tried to make computers see. Now, if Azoff's predictions come to fruition, we might be looking at a whole new ballgame in the world of AI. Picture this: AI systems that can actually process information visually and make decisions based on that, just like we do. It's mind-blowing, right? I mean, we're talking about machines that could potentially look at a problem and come up with creative solutions in ways we've never seen before. It's like giving AI a pair of eyes and an imagination all at once. Think about how this could change things. Right now, AI is pretty good at crunching numbers and recognizing patterns, but it's still struggling with tasks that require that human touch of creativity and intuition. But if we can crack this visual thinking code, we might be opening up a whole new realm of possibilities. Imagine an AI that could look at a blank canvas and create a masterpiece, or one that could glance at a cityscape and come up with innovative urban planning solutions. It's not just about making AI smarter, it's about making it more, well, human-like in its thinking processes. And let's not forget the potential impact on problem-solving. Humans often use visual thinking to work through complex issues. We draw diagrams, we visualize scenarios, we mentally manipulate objects. If AI could do the same, it might be able to tackle problems in ways that are currently beyond its reach. We could be looking at breakthroughs in fields ranging from scientific research to product design, all because we've given AI the ability to see and think in a more human-like way. But here's where it gets really interesting. Azoff's talking about the development of AI with a form of consciousness, even if it's not self-aware. Now, I know what you're thinking. Whoa, slow down there. Are we talking about Skynet? But it's not quite like that. Think of it more like, well, imagine a really smart dog. It's aware of its surroundings, it can make decisions, it can even problem solve to an extent, but it's not sitting there contemplating its own existence. This kind of AI consciousness could be a game changer in fields like robotics and autonomous systems. Right now, a lot of our robots and AI systems are pretty rigid. They're good at doing what they're programmed to do, but throw them a curveball and they're likely to strike out. But an AI with this form of consciousness, it might be able to adapt on the fly, to learn from new situations and apply that knowledge in creative ways. Imagine a rescue robot that could assess a disaster scene and make real-time decisions about the best way to help survivors, adapting its strategy as the situation changes. Or think about self-driving cars that could handle unexpected road conditions with the same kind of intuitive decision-making that human drivers use. We're talking about machines that don't just follow a set of pre-programmed rules, but can actually think on their feet, or wheels, or whatever they have. And it's not just about physical tasks. This kind of AI could revolutionize fields like customer service, where adaptability and understanding context are key. Imagine chatbots that could truly understand the nuances of human communication, picking up on tone and context just like a human would. It's like giving AI emotional intelligence along with its regular smarts. Now let's talk about the elephant in the room, the ethical considerations. Azoff's warning about human control over AI isn't just sci-fi paranoia. It's a real concern that's likely to spark some serious global debates. We're talking potential international treaties, new regulations, the whole nine yards. It's like the nuclear arms race of the 21st century, except instead of weapons, we're dealing with intelligence. The big question is, how do we keep AI as a tool for human benefit rather than a potential threat? It's a tricky balance. On one hand, we want to push the boundaries of what's possible with AI to explore its full potential. On the other hand, we need to make sure we're not creating something we can't control. It's like trying to harness lightning. Incredibly powerful, but potentially dangerous if we're not careful. We might see new international bodies formed specifically to oversee AI development and implementation. Think of it like the United Nations, but for artificial intelligence. There could be global standards set for AI safety and ethics, ensuring that no matter where in the world AI is being developed, it's adhering to certain universal principles. And it's not just about government regulation. Tech companies might need to step up their game too. We could see a new emphasis on transparency in AI development, with companies required to disclose more about how their AI systems work and make decisions. It's like when food companies had to start listing all their ingredients. Suddenly, everyone could see what was really going into the product. But here's the thing. All of this regulation and control, it's not about stifling innovation. It's about making sure that as we push forward into this brave new world of AI, we're doing it responsibly. We want to reap the benefits of more advanced AI without falling into the pitfalls. It's a balancing act for sure, but one that could shape the future of humanity's relationship with artificial intelligence. The news was brought to you by Listen2. This is Eva.